This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey everyone, George Edelman, Editor-in-Chief at No Film School here on the No Film School podcast. And this is a special episode. It's the end of the year, end of 2022. We will not be publishing any more podcasts in 2022, but of course we'll be on our regular schedule starting immediately in 2023. And there are some very exciting new things happening with No Film School that we'll talk about on this podcast. And I'm sure you'll find out about if you subscribe to our newsletter, which I'm sure you do or are about to do. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere else, or go to our website, nofilmschool.com. These exciting things are big, and they're a little bit related to my guest today, who is a very special guest for me, Darius Kanji. Darius is one of the great cinematographers working today. There are many. We've been blessed to have many on this podcast, and I've wanted to talk to him for a long time, maybe even since 1995, when as a very young teenager, I saw a movie called Seven in the theater and was absolutely blown away. Darius is one of those filmmakers who had an impact on the industry, and of course myself, a long time ago. And his impact has continued to be felt, and he continues to innovate. And, you know, he doesn't disappoint. The way he talks about cinematography is inspiring. It's exciting. Just the verbiage he uses, the things he's motivated by or inspired to do, or the way he approaches the work. Sometimes the work speaks for itself, which is certainly true in his case. But other times, the filmmaker also speaks well and adds so much, so many layers to what they're doing and why. And it helps all of us, I think, get a little bit closer to our own artistic realization, if that makes sense. So, you know, as we head into 2023 and the new things we're going to be doing at No Film School that I hope all of you are a part of, so stay tuned for that. What better way to send off 2022 than with Darius Kanji, one of the great image makers of our time, and his eloquent way of talking about Bardo, a false chronicle of a handful of truths. And remember, this is an Iñárritu, Alejandro Iñárritu film. So this is like a superstar pairing between these two guys in terms of just visual storytelling. I just don't know. You can't miss this. It's on Netflix. You have to see it. See it any way you can and appreciate just what he's doing, what they're both doing here. But yeah, Darius, like, I don't even feel like I need to list the movies he's done. Just look at his IMDb and the sheer breadth of style and type of story and tools he's used. Like, he's just a master. He's truly a master. So anyway, here we go. Darius Kanji on Bardo, False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I've long been a huge fan of yours.
Thank you
on this podcast.
we have
limited time, and I want to talk about a lot of things you've done. But with Bardo, I think one of the things that stands out so much about the movie is shooting large format and shooting as wide as you did in those lenses and stuff. Can you talk a little bit about how coming to the decision to go large format and lens choice and creatively where that all came from between you and rest of the team?
You know, George, when I read the script, when Alejandro talked to me on the phone from Mexico, and I was in Paris, and the first time, the moment he started talking about the film, and then I read the script after a few conversations with sent me the script. I read this incredible script. When you read the script, George, it's immediate. It's in the film. It's never mentioned large format. But when you see when you read the script and you, I was going to say, you see the places that the story where the character evolves in the city and the place. And it just happened that I love the large format. That's really something that I love working in large format, and I love the actors being larger than life, being very present on screen. It's something that I got from black and white, I think, because I had a fascination for black and white. And I remember, was it Orson Welles? Or somebody was, I think it was Orson Welles saying that the black and white, or it was somebody else in the silent era. It was black and white was the film, and black and white was putting the actors bigger than life. There was something bigger than life. So I this format for me was this idea of bigger than life. I love early on in my work, I love anamorphic, for instance. I love even early on. When I say early on, I could shoot tomorrow a film with anamorphic C-series, Panavision anamorphic or techno cook anamorphic, you know, or old anamorphic. But I love this idea of the actor being very big on screen, you know, even if you watch on a smaller screen in an art cinema in London or in New York or Paris, you see the actors like you see it in these old black and white films or these early classic films. I love this feeling of it. I love the feeling of bigger than life for an actor. You see the actor, you see the character, you see his presence there. So I saw this camera telling the story like this with these big vistas. I felt the camera was really appropriate. The Alexa 65 was very appropriate because it gives you the feeling. The Vista Vision is very special. The way it renders life on a screen is, the moment you blow up, you start blowing up this image. You can blow it up to IMAX if you want. You know, you can make an IMAX image of it. You know what I mean? It's a very strong image, George. So it's very striking. So we talked about it with Alejandro, and we decided to do the movie like this and to shoot the movie in 65mm using this Anaflex camera. But we're using this particular wide-angle lenses that he loves wide-angle lenses. In his previous films, he used them, and I think he has this the way he writes with the way he tells the story. You know, it was very much like that. He loves using very wide angles. You know, he sees the storytelling like this. You know,
in 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Did you shoot tests with different scale sizes and different lenses, or did you, like you said,
yes? No, we shot tests because it's always interesting. We shot tests with different lenses, and we came with these Firo lenses from Panavision, and then we narrowed down the lenses we like from Panavision. And we went to these Sphero lenses that were covering really well the format, because I didn't want to have I wanted to use these formats really completely, using the whole sensor, like the whole gate, you know. I didn't want to diminish it. I didn't want to. The only thing we did, we protected just for the very edges at 95%. We used the screen at 95% of it in 2.4.0. Because I love having just a tiny bit of reserve for seeing the mics or having for the camera operator. I love combining these lenses, these wide-angle lenses with this camera, because it's quite crazy. This camera already sees very wide. It sees, you know, it's not definition, but I'm not interested in definition of this camera, which is incredible, but more by the way you capture one angle. You can even tell an intimate. The movie I did after was very intimate, you know, it's a very intimate, small story of a family. But I love the way the camera tells the story. That's the presence of the characters and the presence of the landscape, the city on this camera. It's very special.
Yeah, you're making a really interesting point that when we think often of things like this division or 70 millimeter or 65 in large format, we think about scale of vista.
Canvas
of space as opposed to human face.
Exactly.
You're doing it with a human face and an actor.
Oh, yes.
And you're talking a little bit about why that is such an important choice. And I think it definitely draws you in further to the size of this human being, right?
It's George, it's really like anamorphic lenses, like old anamorphic lenses that I love using. When I remember shooting anamorphic lenses, I remember doing a movie very early on, years ago with Woody Allen, and he loves anamorphic use for Manhattan. And I told him, let's do this story in anamorphic. He said, it's a very intimate, small story we're doing in New York. And I said, yes, but I think it's really incredible. And then he fell in love with it. He loved it, you know, because this format, anamorphic, has a lot to do with the Alexa 65 or Bardo. It has this power of rendering the presence of the actor. The Alexa 65, this camera we use on Bardo, has the same DNA. It has the same strengths of the presence of the actors on screen. And that's what I'm interested in. You know, that's why I use an
emotion. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, which one was the first, the Woody Allen one, the first one where
you... It was a small movie called Anything Else in New York.
That's right. Yeah. Right. But then I feel like did you do the same things again of like Midnight in Paris as some of the other ones?
He said, I remember we did a movie after Midnight in Paris called Magic in the Moonlight. He said, would you shoot it in anamorphic if you want? I said, yes, of course, yeah. You know, he knows I love anamorphic. Anyway, so this Bardo has the same power, you know, for the Alexa 65 had the same feeling than anamorphic. If I was shooting on film, I would probably, you know, I would love to shoot anamorphic, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
Vista Vision camera film.
Yeah, you mentioned when you read the script, it was there, even though it wasn't stated explicitly, it was clear.
For me, it was clear. Yeah. For me, it was there, you know, you just
need
it practically basis.
When you read scripts, I mean, you've worked with so many great directors, different kinds of directors.
Yeah.
You feel like the script, even without them being explicit, you can feel, oh, this is what this is going to call for, and it's different.
Not always, George. Not always. It's not always the case. Sometimes you really have to look for the key. You have to find the key. That's what I call the Big Bang. The moment where sometimes it's through a director, from director's words, or sometimes through an actor. You know. Like when we arrive in Mexico, when I arrive in Mexico, and then Alejandro, I remember the day he introduced me to Silverio, to Daniel Jimenez Cacho in Churubusco in the studio he just wanted us to meet, you know. So he came over, he tried some clothes, he tried this green jacket, and we met the first time. We looked at each other, we hugged, you know, it was an immediate love. Yeah, I love the actor. And then the key was there also. The key of Bardo was in Alejandro's words, and it was in Daniel, in Silverio, in Daniel's demeanor, in the way he was going around. He was taking us into this story. We followed him, you know, and we preceded him from different chapters, from one chapter to another throughout the film, like a movement, like a river, like a ribbon, you know?
Yeah.
This is how we did the film, I think, you know?
How much did a movie like, there's a few movies like this, but a movie like 8.5 come up or influence, obviously some kind of ancestor to this, to Bardo, and do you talk about how other movies attack the same subject matter and how you're going to turn it or how you're going to move it forward?
No, it's very interesting. 8.5 is incredible, as you say, is an incredible ancestor. I love the word of use. I use your word ancestor. It's a family. For me, it's a question of family. And we watched the film. We had a very good print that was sent to us. I think it was Criterion sent us a script.
That must have been so much fun.
Somebody sent us a great print of 8.5 that we watched together with the crew, with the old crew. We watched this film in a big studio cinema of Churubusco, And we watch other movies, you know, but movies are all these references were like friends. You take a small part, you just take some things of the essence of films, of paintings, of photographs of like Vivian Maier or paintings of Delvaux or movies like a piece of All That Jazz or Roy Anderson that Alejandro introduced me. You just take pieces of it in you, you know, you don't. It is nothing more dangerous than literal inspiration. You have to be very careful with inspiration. Inspiration is just a fragrance. It's just something you take with you and you remember it. It's about remembering something. So remember
how it makes you feel and what it inspires, sort of.
You have to remember that there was something at 8.5 that was a movement. That was about movement and fantasy and life and real and life. And fantasy and real again. What was your question? Sorry.
I was going to say, sort of see where it inspires you instead of imitation. It's sort of like letting it inspire you to do something, a feeling that inspires you.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly that, George. It's a feeling that inspires us, that we remember. It's very good because I don't have a very good, strong, very precise memory. I have a very impressionistic memory. I remember things. Like completely, I put things together. Sometimes I'm very distracted with things. You know, I don't remember in a studio. Sometimes I can be wrong, going to the wrong door or something. My memories is like this. You take something, you've seen it, but you wouldn't be able to tell exactly what you saw. You know, but you saw something that's stronger than that. You know, and that's what I remember. I think Alejandro and I were this language. We talked together throughout three of cinema. We talked about bits and pieces that suddenly I knew what he was meaning or he knew what I was meaning. That's how we made the film, you know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you watched other things, did you guys try to soak in things that were more about the time and place, about being in the country, about what the landscape is like, about what the city looks like? Because there's also, it feels very specific to where you are, you know, to a location, like in the character too, in Bart.
No, everything is very, very specific and important, but at the same time, is a character. Is a character in downtown Mexico. Is a character in these clubs that him or his family went through when he was younger and things that he saw when he was a kid. It was really through character driven. You know, he was the restaurant that you see. The landscape is mapped around him, and he evolves in it. But it's really him that was the essence. Was really Daniel. And the different people, his friends, his family that he meets, that he sees and meets, and all this, that's really important for me. The places are great, are important. We filmed them and we made them glorious, I think, you know, because they were glorious in the script, you know, in the story. But the character was very much what we were after, I think, you know, that's what he was Alejandro in a way, you know, it was him.
Yeah.
It's a bit of him, you know, it's so much him when he, it was so much truthful, you know. It's so much. That was really what seduced me the most at the beginning, was that he was him, you know. He was literally talking about something in his deep into his life, that he was a wound, something deep inside him. And for me, it was more important than anything, you know. And I think for Daniel too, for the actor too.
When you're choosing a project or you're considering what you're going to do, what sticks out to you? Because you've done. And basically every kind of thing, like your resume is so varied and the way you approach each project is so different and effective. And I'm curious what sort of, what do you look for? You mentioned the big bang that happens creatively, when you're looking at a project or considering one, what is it about it that what do you look for?
Yeah, it's a very important question. It's very driven by the director. It's all triggered by the director. The director the director that chose me, I chose the one that I feel I can help, I can work with. You know, that's really what triggers my desire to do cinema, to make a film, another film, is the director. You know, I'm very lucky that I work with very good directors, and it's more than the project, because I always say, oh, I've always wanted to do Western. My dream is to do Western because I love Western, but it has to be with a director. I just finished a science fiction film, but I couldn't do a science fiction film with anyone else than the director I just worked with. You know, it's the director that triggers everything for me. This, for me, ultimately, the Big Bang, I think, is telling his story or her story. You know, it's what's really important, I think. You know,
I can't wait to see the science fiction movie you just did. And I also love Western. And if you shoot a Western, I'll be first in line.
Oh, John, I would love to shoot a Western.
Millimeter and Vista Vision and all that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your question. Thank you. I would love to do a Western. Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much, Darius, for coming on the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. It's been a long time goal again to have Darius on. I hope he comes back. I feel like we didn't have enough time, but I don't think we ever could, because I feel like he could also just keep talking about what he's doing and why and how, and it would always be cool. And I'm, as I say this, looking at images from the film, Bardo, and just thinking more about how incredibly talented he is and how lucky we are to have had the chance to hear from him. But that's just the way it's been at No Film School in this podcast. We've had an incredible year. We've had great years prior, great guests, and we've learned so much. And I encourage you to dig through the archives and find so many incredible talents that have been on this podcast and shared all kinds of information and tips and insight into their work, many of whom surprise you with what motivates them and what gets them creatively going. Again, stay with us on our podcasts, on our social networks, on our website, on our newsletter, No Film School, because we're doing some big things in 2023 and we want all of you to be involved. So keep an eye out for that, and we'll see you in 2023. Thanks so much for listening.